can have two other men. Chapter 14, and by the way, please, if you will look there, that's where we're going to begin today. If you're looking for a Bible reading schedule, truthfully, here's the best source. Are you ready? Google. There are hundreds of them on the internet. Find the one you like and use it. It's that simple. 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to read verse 2 first. Saul tarried, as the King James says, in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree. By the way, I think this means Saul was a coward. And you're going to find he was a pretty good coward his whole life, and he only had one thing in his mind, which was killing David after a short period of time. Verse 4. We go into the story, and of course, the only one taking action is a guy by the name of Jonathan. It says, in between the passages, or maybe the pass, by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was whatever, and the name of the other was something else. But the point being is, the Philistines weren't stupid. They got themselves in a place that was pretty hard to get to. And Jonathan wants to do some damage. So, you know, you're going to have to climb up a hill, with rocks and stones, which, you know, it's easy to fall down. You're going to have to get up there. And when you get up there, you're going to have to go through that pass. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done rock climbing. I have not since I was young. You say, why? Because I look like a rock, a big one. But when I was young, I did. When you get to the top, you're exhausted. So they're going to have to go up through this pass to fight the Philistines. That's the whole ordeal. Verse 5. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, and the whole text this morning comes from verse 6. There are three principles here, or concepts. He says, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. And one of my favorite phrases, it may be that the Lord will work for us. And then the third concept, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. And then Jonathan said, behold, we pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. Make ourselves known. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go unto them. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered, or they, you know, showed themselves, made themselves known unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold. And typically in the Bible, when it says Hebrews, it's typically other people saying it to the Jewish people. I don't know exactly why, and this is not the time. I will give you this piece of information. There was a group of people that had a similar name in that part of the world. This might be nothing more than slander. You know, you're one of those folks. Probably that's what it is. It's normally used of people calling the Jewish people, these people. In another language, it was the Amoru. There's all kinds of the Amorites. It's kind of slander or putting people down. Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them unto the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up. I love this verse. For fun, this is my favorite verse. Upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. I mean, they were scrambling up this cliff to get there. And it says, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made was about 20 men within a half acre of land. And the King James gives an explanatory little phrase, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Otherwise, this small little area, and they killed 20 of the enemy. After climbing up the cliff. We're going to look at verse 6. I was with my family again recently. I realized that much of everything I'm going to say today, you learn in your home. This is biblical. Everything I'm going to say is directly from one verse. However, much of this is learned in a family. Getting to yes. Some people were born with a yes in their mouth, and some people were reared on a dill pickle. And everything you say to them is no. And it, some folks can get to yes after 5 years, and some people would cling on to no until they're 105. Why is that? Look at me. Let's go out to... I have come to realize my simple country family, a dad that worked in a steel mill and a mother that was a country girl, has more yes in them than 95% of Christians I have met. Why is that? This morning, from my friend Ed over here and his lovely wife Emmy, to over here Mike and Pam, to Raphael back in the back, to... I can't remember his name. I know Josh. I know his lovely wife. But we'll call him the guapo fella. I'm messing with you, by the way. This morning, at the beginning of 2016, I don't ever want to hear a Christian in this church ever say no again. I want us to be a whole people that know how to get to yes. So when God speaks to us through the word, look at me. We are getting to obeying. No more, I can't do that. That's not how my family is. I'm just not like that. Because look at me. Your marriage depends on you getting to yes. Your children depend on you getting to yes. Getting to yes for some of us for the first time. Father, thank you for your word. May you speak to us. May you encourage us. May you help us. May every believer understand that in you the promises of God are yes. The promises of God are amen. And there ought to be that which in us that moves forward as believers. Help us to hear. Much more importantly, help us to begin thinking differently for some of us than we have ever thought in our life. This I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It is my privilege to have pastored this church for almost 20 years. Before I came to Lake County Baptist in 1996, and I was thinking about this, I have always said I was 39 years old when I came here, but in reality, I'm speaking as a child now. I was only 38 in 3 weeks. So I had three more weeks before I was 39. I've had the privilege of pastoring here. I had the privilege of pastoring in St. Louis County for 8 years. And I reflected this last week on my two pastorates. And I can say it was my privilege to pastor Lifegate Baptist Church in Ellisville, Missouri for 8 years. And it was obviously much more than that, I would say, because of my weaknesses and limitations. It was God's goodness that allowed me to pastor and to know a group of seniors at Lifegate Baptist Church for 8 years. The vast majority of the seniors that I pastored from 1988 to 1996 were older than my parents. Actually, all of them were older than my parents. Now, there was others, but there was a group of seniors. They were all older than mom and dad, some of them within 5 to 10 years older, more or less. Then there was a group that was as old as my parents' parents. Some of them were 25, 30 years older than my parents. And I know their names. My wife, my children know them. Bill and Gladys Ferguson, Bennett and Juanita Hebbethwaite, John and Weta Dean, Ray and Hazel Brown, Mrs. Whalen, Three Musketeers, Viola Bond, Piney Carver, and Nellie Brown, Ray and Jackie Harrington, and a few others. And as I reflected on that group of people, three things come to my mind. And I will let you ask my wife if I'm speaking truth, because I would prefer you to actually listen as opposed to think I'm just telling preacher stories. When I think of that group of people, three things come to my mind. Without exception, that group of seniors had three concepts. Number one, all of them had suffered loss. They'd all lost their parents. Some of them had lost their spouse. One of them lost their child when I was there. Is that an easy thing to lose your child? I forgot to tell you, their child that they lost was old as my father. He was 63 at the time, and they lost their 63-year-old son. One of them had lost a sister. One of them had seen her father blow his brains out in front of her. They'd suffered. So this wasn't a group of people that just, 20 years old, idealistic. This is a people that had been through the wars. They had all been through the Depression. They had all been through World War II. Some of them had served in World War II, though some of them were too old. Second thing I think about, Jenny, is this a correct statement? To a person, they were faithful. I don't think I've ever met a more faithful group. I can't even say how faithful they were. The best way to describe it is this. One of the couples, the second oldest couple, Bennett and Juanita Hebbethwaite, Bennett was got to the end of his life. He had congestive heart failure, and he was dying. So he started staying home from church because he couldn't get to church. I'd visit him a couple times here and there. For about 3 months, he was out of church. He eventually died. We did a funeral in our church. We did another funeral down in southern Missouri where he was from. Sunday morning, Juanita Hebbethwaite comes back to church. She had been missing for 13 weeks. She comes back to church on Sunday morning. Everybody loves her. We have our normal church service. At the end of the church service, one of the deacons comes to me and says, Pastor, you've got to come and see this. He says, you've got to see what was in the offering today. By the way, at Lifegate and at Lake County, I have exactly how much to do with the offering? Nothing. I don't collect it. I don't count it. I don't touch money. That's done by deacons and other men, just like there. I said, okay. I walked back to the place where they counted the money, and one of my guys was there, and he says, Pastor, you've got to look at this. And in his hands were offering envelopes. 13 of them. Hear me. It wasn't the money they gave. $30 a month, a week. They didn't have any money. It was something in these people. Jenny, faithfulness. But here's God's mercy to me. That was my first church. God's greatest mercy to me, look at me, with one exception, every single senior was a yes person. I think if I would have pastored a church of people that were no people, it might have been my first and only. If I asked those folks anything, yes. We had special offerings. They gave. We had special days. They showed up. They brought people. When I came there for the first 5 or 6 years, the seniors cleaned the building. And they were in their late 80s. You say, what? Yes. I can say this. I never grew up around no people. And I thank God every day for my first experience of people, with one exception. I'm not going to lie to you. There was one woman that could never get to yes. Everything was no. But every other one was a yes person. In your notes, most of this morning, by the way, is just going to be verses, the reason of your notes. 2016 is now before us with many challenges, both known and unknown. So my friend, today, on this date, every person in this room has challenges, and you already know of some of them. Some of them are things like your marriage, your children. Simple things like witnessing, reading the Bible, things that we should have figured out as a young Christian, and now we're 30 years down the road and we're still struggling just to carry on the Christian life. There are those known challenges. Now, I'm assuming you know there are also some unknown challenges, and I don't know what those are. I don't want to be personal. Bambi's not here this morning. She's suffering. Mrs. DeGraw just lost her husband a few weeks back. I'm guessing last year this time, neither one were thinking, I'm not going to have my son and I'm not going to have my husband. That's not how we are. But listen, as we look forward to 2016, we approach challenges, known and unknown. And hear me, saying no gets us no place. There has to be something within us that knows how to get to God's yes. Well, I'm actually going to preach the Bible. This is not a pep rally. Look in your notes, please. I say we begin, or if you prefer the word start, start or begin with God's certainties. In every challenge of life, you begin with the certainties. Now, Jonathan says three things in this text. Look up here, folks. He says three things, and if I can illustrate them by levels. The foundation is the third statement. It's which everything is built on. Then there's a second statement, which is the middle statement. And then there's the last statement. But if you don't get that foundation, you stay where you are. Still trying to figure out, am I going to be a parent? Am I going to turn that stupid TV off? Am I going to actually say, if you live in my house, we're the parents, you're not, you do what we say? When do we do those things? Well, the foundational level is begin with God's certainties, or start with the certainties. Look at 1 Samuel 14. And I'm going to teach a concept that you're going to find in lots of text. It says, Jonathan said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. That's the yes, friend. That's the last part. The middle part is, it may be that the Lord will work for us. But the foundation is his reasoning, his biblical reasoning. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan was standing firmly on a certainty in his life that God is not limited to having a big army or a small army. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He began with a certainty. Now, everyone look at me. I'm going to hammer this home. If I finish one point today, I might just quit. Because if you begin every conversation with no, that means you begin every conversation with you and God and other people with what you're uncertain about. I don't think that'll work. I don't think I can. Shut that stupid stuff up. Begin with certainties, what you know. Let's continue reading. These are just other examples of the same concept. 2 Chronicles 14:11, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name go we against the multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. There's something about beginning with something that is certain. Here it is. Every person I've ever seen that goes any place, look at me. There is none of this conversation of, no, 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 I can't. There is something in them. I am going forward, forward, forward. I'm standing on something. Here's the problem. Some of you are already asleep. Some of you are already checking out because your life is about what you don't know, what you can't do. Well, no wonder why you keep living like you live. Let's continue. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God then replies a little later when Jeremiah is starting to doubt. He says, by the way, Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's a certainty, friend. When Jesus is talking about how difficult it is, or actually impossible, for a person of wealth to get saved, he says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When the angel is speaking to Mary and having the interaction, says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verses that I quoted to myself as a young man. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Everyone look at me. You don't need to read these statements. What do you know for sure? You know three things for sure about, number one, you know the promises of God. And my friend, look at me. You don't build your life on your doubts. You don't build your life on your fears. You don't build your life on what you can or cannot do. You start with God's promises. You continue with commands. You know what a command is? If God tells you to do it, that means you can do it. You go to the clear teaching of Scripture. Commands, promises, clear teaching of Scripture. Put those as the foundation of your life. So whatever, listen to me, whatever you face this year, some of you just need to start doing right if you're a Christian. Some of you, if you're not a Christian, this is the day to get saved. Some of us need to begin reading the Bible and having a time with God. Some of us need to actually witness to the person you work with and quit thinking about yourself. Some of us, there's a thousand things. What bothers me, if you don't learn to obey God here, when it comes to those other things that happen, we have no foundation to build our life. I have a question for you. Is it possible to get lost in Chicago? Of course, I have a different question after that. How lost do you mean? Most of you don't know this because Mr. Smith never gave this impression. When he was alive, Mr. Floyd Smith knew every street in Chicago and the back alleys. I took a trip with him to Chicago one day, and I was like, how do you know these back alleys? And he said, don't you know for 3 years I used to drive a delivery truck through every back alley of Chicago? I don't know Chicago like that. By the way, some of you think, Chicago, Chicago, oh no, oh no, the world is ending. Folks, I'm a country boy where we don't, you know what we call the road like right over here? We call those hardtop roads. Do you know why? We only had one or two in the whole county. We had mostly gravel as a kid, a few blacktop, and we call those hardtop roads. We still only have one or two in the county. I grew up in the woods. You say, are you afraid of Chicago? Look at me, I'm going someplace. I never get lost in Chicago. I've never been lost in Chicago. I would question someone's sanity that tells me they're lost. You say, why, Pastor Warren? May I ask for those that are sleeping to stand up or do something other than what they're doing? You never get lost in Chicago. How can you get lost if you drive far enough to the east? There's a thing called the lake. Now, unless you're really asleep, sooner or later when you go into the lake, it wakes you up. You say, I'm, it scares me. Really? If you go east, you hit the lake. If you go west, I know this is really shocking, you hit 294 sooner or later. There's another road that goes through like this. It kind of loops around and goes north. I think it's called 94. and 41. Sooner or later, that breaks off, and 94 then goes west, and 41 goes on. And how do you get lost in Chicago? You say, I don't know. The streets are almost all straight, east and west and north and south. You say, but I'm lost. I've asked people, this is the funny thing, they call you and say, I'm lost, can you help me? And I have to ask them, where are you at? And they immediately say, I don't know. It's like, what do you mean you don't know? Are you in the lake? Have you run into 294 yet? There's a couple other roads. Have you ever heard of them? Well, there's one that's a road. It's called 90. You know, it goes east and west towards O'Hare. And there's another one south of there. They call it a road. It's really a parking lot. It's called 290. It's a parking lot from Chicago to wherever it ends. When I look at people from the country and they say, I'm afraid I'm going to get lost. Where are you going to get lost at? Folks, you're going to run into the lake. You're going to run into 294 that goes all the way around it. 290, 90, 94. It's impossible. Wait a minute. See, some of you have no idea what I'm doing because you're drifting. It's impossible to get lost in Chicago if you begin with what you know. But if you always begin with what you don't know, you're always lost. I'm a country boy that never gets lost in Chicago over a few blocks because, believe it or not, Chicago is the easy. I'll take you to St. Louis and I'll get you lost because the streets there do this. They're cow paths. Chicago's straight. My friend, you don't get lost if you begin with what you know. People who can get to yes begin with the certainties, not the uncertainties. They begin with what they know, not what they don't know. They begin with their assurance, not with their doubts. People who can get to yes begin with their faith and not with their fear. They begin with the light and not with the darkness. They begin with what they're secure in, not with their insecurities. People who never go anyplace always begin with their doubts. Don't even know about faith. They always begin with what they don't know. I don't know. They always begin with their insecurities. They always begin with the doubts and the problems and the difficulties. Jonathan built a foundation that led him and a young man to win a battle, and it was based on begin or start with your certainties, what you know. Matthew 24, would you look with me? Here's some things you know, and I can't write or put all of them in one place. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isaiah says something to that effect also, I think. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. How about this one? And we what?
Oh, Pastor Warren, I don't know.
Look up here. Get to some place where you know where you're at. Get to something you know. Begin with the certainties. Start there. Build your life on what you know. And we know that all things, whatever God has for us in 2016, work together for good. It doesn't work together for good for the unsaved. It works together for good to a believer, described in two different ways. Someone who is a lover of God and someone who is called according to his purposes. My friend, if you have been called out of your sin by God's grace to salvation and you are now a lover of God, you say, Pastor Warren, what could go wrong in 2016? I don't know, but I do know some things. And I'm always going to begin with what I know. Do I hear any naysayers out there listening? Let's continue reading. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. By the way, we know that, don't we? We know that God the Father gave God the Son for our sins. He delivered him up. He handed him over to be crucified. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You say, Pastor Warren, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen either. But I do know this. I know that the Father gave the Son for our sins and our salvation. And if he gave his greatest gift, I'm pretty sure he'll take care of the rest. Romans 8, verse 38. I heard this years ago. It's a preacher joke, but I still like it. Somebody was asked, are you of the Arminian persuasion or of the Calvinistic persuasion? And the guy said, I'm the Paul persuasion. He says, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. For the which cause, Paul says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed or disappointed. For I know whom I have believed. I know some things. I begin with the certainties. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:10, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Ron, our church took you guys on 19 years ago. I want to ask you a question. How many missionaries have failed us in 19 years? How do we know it's going to be worthwhile putting money into your ministry? The answer is, that's not how you think about life. If you are a person that thinks about the problems, you never go anyplace. You've got to build a foundation on what you're certain of. Here's what I'm certain of. Are you ready? Let's read it together. I think you know it. Let's do this. Let's read it out loud together. Would you do that with me? Ready? Therefore, now I can't hear you. Ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, Pastor Warren, have you ever helped a missionary that they failed? Yes, but what we did didn't fail. And God's work never fails. And my friend, you've got to come back to what you know. Now the next verse is a wonderful verse. But Frenchie put this in the notes, because it's supposed to be chapter 6, verse 9, not chapter 5, verse 9. In chapter 6, verse 9, why don't we look there? Turn your Bibles to chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Everybody listening? So tomorrow, you go to work, and you know God's called you to witness to that person at work. And the first bumbling words out of your mouth are, mm-hmm. Get over that stupid, because Christians don't start with excuses and problems and doubts and difficulties. They build on certainties. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My friend, begin with God's certainties. Begin with the certainties of life. How many times and ways can I say it? Please look at me. I cannot help you in this area. Only God, His Spirit, His grace will be able to catch you. Look at me. You must get to the place where you're able to hear yourself speak to yourself. Because all of this happens before you say anything else out loud. If you have spent your life building on your doubts, you say that to yourself, so you never get to yes. It's always somehow you and I must start speaking to ourselves the promises, the commands, the teaching of Scripture, so we have a foundation. So whatever else we face or whatever else we need to do, we can get to yes because we start with God's certainties. It's not, God's not limited by a few or many. Nothing, you know, all things are possible with God. Concepts that build a foundation. Number two, my favorite part, actually. Read the verses with me, please. I talk about continuing with the possibilities. But by the way, you cannot be positive if you don't have a foundation. This is not a pep talk. This is biblical Christian thinking. Christians think differently about life. They have their life built on something. So therefore, they can start seeing possibilities. Continue with the possibilities. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, I'll make this modern, are yes. And in him, amen, so be it, unto the glory of God by us. Notice the phrases. Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Please look at me. If you get around me for 5 minutes, you're going to know I don't like no people. And you say, what are you thinking of? I'm not thinking of anything specific. Because a no person is not a no person in one place. A no person is a no person every place. So I preach on the home. You don't listen because I preach on marriage. I preach on disciplining the mind. You can't ever get to yes any place. What you're going to find is people that grow, grow every place, and people that don't grow any place. So this principle, in order to get to the possibilities, you got to have the certainties. God is not limited by few or many. I'm paraphrasing Jonathan. And then it may be, by the way, look at me, it might not be too. Possibilities are exactly what they are. In this church, I have tried a few things. Some of them have worked and some of them haven't worked. We've hired teachers. Some of them have been phenomenal. Some of them have surprised me. Some of them have depressed me. It's just possible. It may be God will do something. Wait a minute. This is not a pep rally. This is not Joel Osteen. This is B-I-B-L-E stuff. So now we're going to look at a possibility that didn't work. Read with me. 2 Samuel 12. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread or food before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what in the world are you doing? What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child when it was alive, but when the child is dead, thou didst arise and eat bread. That's the opposite of most no people. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Please look at me. We begin, we start with God's certainties. Listen, folks, this is not, you can do it. No, it's none of that stupid. It's simply this, there is a God, and that God is sovereign, and that God is mighty, and he is gracious, he's merciful, he's good. I build my life on the promises, commands, and teaching of Scripture. I step up from that to the possibilities. Sometimes I go down a path and I find out God's not in that. Sometimes I go down a path and find out God's in it. You just heard a special from my daughter singing and Ms. Debelak. I remember when Tim Kowak came to me and talked about, I have a young lady that might come here and teach, and he started to describe her. That is one of the great surprises of my 20 years I've been here. I am so thankful that other schools were too stupid to see what they could have had. Tim? There's been a few other surprises, actually a lot. I'm very happy with our school and our ministry here. May I say this? The young lady sitting beside Sparky, her and Sparky couldn't be more different. One, Sparky is very quiet, and Emily is very talkative. But this year at the programs, I'm sitting out there dumbfounded by how well our young people sang for the first time since I've been here. Her gentleness, her quietness, her meekness, and the I'm like, how does she do that? That Kowak guy had another good person in mind. Actually, I like that Kowak guy. His wife's a little bit debatable, but I like him. May I say this, folks? Sometimes, though, you get disappointed. This is not you can do. Oh, shut that stuff up. We build our life on the certainties of God, and from that we continue with the possibilities. David said, look what he says. Read with me. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But he says, but now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast exactly? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Later on, David says this in 2 Samuel 16. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, which also means it might not be. It's a possibility. 2 Kings 19, verse 4. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of this Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God and reprove the words which the Lord hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. I mean, you don't know. Joel chapter 2. By the way, when you get to Joel chapter 2, you're going to start noticing some of these same concepts are in different passages. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Folks, that's the certainty. Look at me. That's where he began. He knew something about God. God is merciful and gracious. He built everything on that foundation. But you never get to the possibilities without the certainties. May I say this? If you don't get the first point, you ain't going anyplace. You're going to be looking for some Joel Osteen. You can do it. And you stay right where you've been for decades. By the way, friend, there's some of us in this room that don't need to stay where we've been. Let's continue reading. Do you understand? That's the first point. Start with your certainties. When he says, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So that's the foundation. Then we get to the possibilities. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? We don't know what God's going to do, but we do know God. So we begin with the certainties, and we continue with those possibilities. Amos chapter 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Judah, but implied in that, we know something about God's mercy and God's grace. Jonah, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not. Those were pagans talking about the possibilities. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness and meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. A couple weeks back, I think it was a Friday. It might be 3 weeks now. 3 weeks since our grandson was born? What day was it? She knows. What time was it? December 11th, our grandson was born. He was in a hurry, so he was born at home. He didn't want to hang out for hospitals. He says, this is good enough. William Lee Warren. And Peter, another Chinoy to add to the list, buddy, just so you know. So we had to go see him. My wife had to go see him. Did you go see him that day? You did. Did I go see him that day? I'm a bad grandpa. I went to see him the next day. You know, we have to see him that day. I went to see him the next day. You say, what was he like? He was about this big. He wasn't snoring, but he wanted to. You say, isn't that so exciting? All they do is eat and something else you don't want to talk about. We saw him, I saw him on Saturday, then I saw him again once or twice. You've seen him many days because she went there to stay, and Amy only has one goal in life. The oldest grandson, Nathan, loves me more than her. So Amy has set her course in life that she's going to bribe this baby to love her more than me. Just so you know, it ain't working, Amy. I got a question for you. Why do we like babies? Because everything is new. Oh, wait for it. He opened his eyes. Don't most babies open their eyes? Oh, he rolled over. When they're about three, you wish, can you go back to not rolling over and not walking and not tearing things up? But as I was thinking about this, what is it that we're so interested in little kids? The possibilities. Some of us have spent decades, look at me, saying no. We came by it from our sin nature. We come by it from our family. And everything is, I can't do that. I can't be there. And we're so boring, people run from us. You say, bring in a little kid, and everybody's going, ooh, ah. And all they did was, by the way, when a little kid goes, ah, that's not good. All they did was open their eyes. Because some of us, everything is no. May I say this? Please listen to me. Build your life starting from this day on the certainties. Don't dare tell me about your past. Your past isn't God. Build your life on God. Yes? And from that, move to the possibilities. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes you're thinking, man, we're going to get another Sparky at this school, and that person comes, and 15 minutes later, you're firing them. Tim, I've hired a few of those. Yes? May I say this? There's nothing more exciting than being around a person of possibilities. If you take Sparky back here, excuse me, Miss Debelak, if you call her by her wrong name, and you take Ms. Lex, and you put those two women together, you learn something. Number one, what do you learn? Stay out of their way. Number two, you learn Miss Ideas and implementer of ideas. And there's like nothing these women can't do. I talk to other people. Life is ended. All I can do is shoot myself. And you're like, where did you learn this from? Who told you this? For I can do nothing through Christ which strengthens. What? We move on. Number three. Follow up. Here's where it comes down to tomorrow. I'm sorry, here's tomorrow. There's no need to learn these principles from many passages in the Bible until you get to tomorrow. Got tomorrow? After you build a foundation, start with the certainties, continue with the possibilities of what God may or may not do, you follow up or you follow through with the appropriate biblical activities. Read the text with me. For all the promises of God or Him are yes. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. But 1 Samuel says this. Here's the activity that was appropriate. Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. Let's move forward. Let's do it. He had a foundation of certainties. He knew the possibilities. And now it's time to move on to the appropriate activities. Teacher comes to you and says your child is struggling in school. Everything about your Christianity shows up right now. That's just the way he is.
I can't do anything.
Who are you? Are you a Christian? No, you're built on something. If you're saved by the grace of God and a sovereign God, you have a God that's in charge of the universe. I think he can take care of your problems. And you have opportunities and options and possibilities. And then you seize on that appropriate biblical teaching or command or activity. And you grab it and you run with it. And after a while, you run with this one, you run with this one, you run with this one. You fail at a few. But overall, you have a life that knows how to get to yes. If you look again, back to Joel chapter 2. Therefore also now saith the Lord, skip some verses, turn you even to me with all your heart. See, that's following up or following through with the appropriate biblical activity. Now, it's built on, in the next line, for God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. That's the foundation. That's the certainties, the possibilities. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing? But you've got to get to what? You've got to get to the activity that is an appropriate biblical activity. Follow through. Follow up. Do it. So, next Saturday, this is not happening. As a church, we're going to Chicago. We're going to go to the Oriental Institute. You're invited. I can already hear people thinking of reasons why they could not possibly do anything. You are the person that I'm thinking about. Look at me in the eyes. You must stop listening to the garbage of your sinful nature. And you must build your life, begin with God's certainties. By the way, today, memorize and speak to yourself 500 times, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or if you prefer, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Start with certainties. Don't start with no's. Start exploring the possibilities. But by the way, possibilities won't help you. If your life is a wreck and you've spent 40 years watching the boob, you're going to have a hard time turning the boob off. You might have to ask some other people for some help. What are the possibilities of my life? Is it possible not, let's ask this, is it possible not to watch TV and play video games? Be interesting for some of you to try. Grab those activities, whatever they are. I could care less about you ever going to Chicago. I do care about you. I care about your marriage. I care about your children. I care about your finances. I care about your integrity. I care about your honesty. I care about your life. And my friend, you and I must do something different. We cannot keep doing the same things and expecting somehow something's going to change. I'm going to tell two quick stories and be done, but I'm going to begin with one of my favorite quotes by Mark Twain, that great theologian. Look at the bottom. Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines. Sail away from the sleepy, cloudy, no-saying harbor. Catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore. Dream. Discover. 1989, my second year as a pastor in St. Louis, my mother called me one morning and said, your Uncle Florin, that's my mother's older brother, born in 1929, I think, maybe 1930. She said, Uncle Florin has been in a wreck. He was driving to work. He lived out in the country by Shipman, Illinois, driving to Alton Laclede Steel. He was driving to work. Mom's conversation, driving too fast. It had rained. Wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And he hit, and I'm going to say it properly, pronounce it. he hits some washboards. Some of you are like, a who? Like that. Went around a corner, hit washboards that were full of water, lost control of his truck, rolled his truck, a little pickup three or four or five times. Mom said, he's in the hospital. I said, I'll go see him. I drove down to the hospital in St. Louis that day. I saw my Uncle Florin. He didn't have a scratch on him except one problem. Because he didn't have a seatbelt on, his head had hit the ceiling, the roof. And it had compressed his spine like this. So the only way they can uncompress you is put you on a halo and stretch you over a period of weeks. So they had him drilled into his head. I'm sorry, this is crude, but this is what happened. You're going to get where I'm going. He was drilled into his head, and my Uncle Florin was there in the bed, and I talked to him. I talked to my Aunt Loretta. Eventually, he got out of the hospital, and he went home. It was painful. When your spine is compressed, it's very painful to do anything. And my Aunt Loretta is a good, godly Christian woman who is a servant, so she took care of every possible need he had. So from 1989, for the next 15 or so years, he never did one thing. He finally died shortly before his death. My Uncle Florin said to Aunt Loretta, if I would have known I was going to live for the next 15 years, I'd have learned how to walk. You say, that's ridiculous. May I ask why you keep doing the same things over and over? May I ask why some of us, our whole life is known by no? Can't do that. When do we do something different? Start with the certainties. God's not limited by few or by many. Continue with the possibilities. Who can tell? I got to go for it. Follow through. When you walk out of here today, I have deliberately left this message as three ideas from one text because I don't want to pound on any of you today. There are people in this room, your kids are a wreck, and you know it, and you have done nothing. Some of you have no control over your impulses. Your life is lived by whatever the latest feeling that floats through your small brain. When do we live differently? Today. Start with the certainties, continue with the possibilities, follow through with the appropriate biblical activities. Whatever you need to do, you'll be amazed at what God can do. This week, I think it might have been the end of last week, I was talking to a friend that pastors in Springfield, Illinois. He was in your worked with your son, the big tall guy from your son's church, Tyler. I was talking to Tyler about a biblical program I have on my iPhone. It's a great Greek text. If you read Greek, it's very helpful. It costs $21. I said, Tyler, you should get it. I said, it'll work on an iPhone or a smartphone of any variety. And this is what he said to me. He says, yeah, but I don't have an iPhone anymore. I'm like, what? I said, can you not afford it? I mean, I know he's in a small... He says, no, it's not the money. Are you ready? He said, I realized I was living my life. Have you watched yourself? Facebook, text, tweets, and all the other stupidity? He said to me, I have never heard an adult say this. I just got rid of it. It was dominating my life. From here to here to here to here, it's time to get to yes in your life. And that won't happen by saying no. That happens by starting with what you know, the certainties. Looking at the possibilities and grabbing a hold of and following through, or your family will be the same crap it's been for decades. What will it be? Let's pray.